Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation announced on August 2nd that the Lake Erie Connector project will be suspended indefinitely due to uncertainty in the economy. And here to talk to me about the project and everything that's happened with it is Matt Jamieson, President and CEO of Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation. So thanks for taking some time to talk to me this morning, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
I wanted to start by asking if you could give us a little more detail as to why this project was suspended, citing uncertainty in the economy.
Yeah, sure. So the project itself is enormous. It's I think the total project cost is about $1.7 billion. And I mean, it's no secret right now, given the macroeconomic circumstances that we're facing here in Canada and the United States, those factors weighed heavily on the project, the economics of the project. Now, the project itself is a bidirectional high-voltage transmission line that connects the United States and Canada electrical systems. So there are foreign exchange exposure risks associated with the project as well. And as I mentioned, those macroeconomic circumstances that are out there, inflation is rising at historic levels. Interest rates are seemingly continuing to rise. And then, you know, foreign exchange, but then commodity pricing, so the price of copper, the other core key elements of the actual transmission line are all very unstable. And so when you're looking at developing a project in the order of magnitude of the Lake Erie Connector, every little nuance has an effect on the viability of the project. So our partner in the project, the ITC Holdings, as a subsidiary of Fortis Inc., and Fortis is a public traded company, ultimately Fortis made a decision that the economics were no longer viable, and unfortunately they decided to pull the project and suspend it.
And in the media release that was released earlier last week, it was announced that the project, Six Nations DevCorp and Elected Council, were prepared to enter into the equity investment deal worth around $33 million. And I know community feedback was being sought. I'm just wondering how that feedback was received by DevCorp.
Yeah, well, there was so as we always do, Andy, on the things that we transact on behalf of the community, we went through a very comprehensive due diligence assessment of the project itself. So we could really understand the economics, what it means to the community, what the environmental impacts are, and so forth. And as we did those studies in parallel with that, we carried out a community investment review, which was hosted over a series of 10 sessions, open sessions. One of them was in person. Obviously, you know, the impact of COVID still lingers, and so we couldn't have, you know, all of those sessions in person. So we had webinar presentations. You know, and as unfortunately, you know, in other projects we've also seen this, we didn't get the type of participation that we'd like to. I think the total number of people that participated was about 50 people through the whole course of those 10 sessions. But I think the ones that did offer some quality feedback and help provide guidance on you know, what the sensitivities were in the community on this project in particular. Now, we did use social media, and we are aware that we did penetrate almost 2,000 views, and so we do know that the message about the project was out there. And I think it's suffice to say that, you know, like any development project, we have some folks in the community who think it's a good thing, and we have some who don't think that way. And so it's not an easy decision, and ultimately the decision was to be made by the elected council on what's in the best interest for the community. And as you mentioned, the council, in its final analysis, based on the due diligence study that was completed, they had made the final decision to pursue a 10% equity ownership position in the asset itself, which would have produced approximately $44 million in the first 40 years and potentially up to $70 million for a full duration of 55 years. So some significant financial impacts, which unfortunately won't be realized now.
And can you just talk to me about some of those concerns that were brought to you from the feedback from community members?
Yeah, sure. I mean, here's the reality. In a project like this, it's highly technical, and you know, it's challenging for us to really carry on a good narrative with the community because, you know, frankly, complex projects like this take time to really read and digest and understand what it is. And so for a period of time, we had some people that thought that the transmission line was like a pipeline, like an oil pipeline, which is not what it was. So there was, you know, I say misunderstanding and some misinformation out there around what exactly the project was. So really a lot of the feedback on the frustration side was that people didn't really fully understand. And maybe that's, you know, shame on us, we could have done a better job, but I think what we've done to in this particular example, and I would point anybody to the snfuture.com website as a repository for all of the communication efforts that went into the sharing the message. But as you go and look at that information, there's a lot of materials there. It does take time out of people's lives to stop, read, formulate opinion, and raise points and suggestions on how things can be better. So I think some of the loud voices we heard were the people who maybe didn't have a full understanding or a full appreciation of what the project actually was. But we did receive a lot of positive feedback on job opportunities and how the project could be used for training and capacity building in our community. So I would say all in all, it was a fairly balanced response, but it wasn't a clear resounding answer in support or not support. And ultimately, that's where the elected council had to weigh in and make the decision.
And you sort of touched on it there. You were beginning to touch on it. Just can you talk to me about the benefits that would have been coming to the community if this project would have went through?
Yeah, so of course the financials, we talked about that. You know, the first 40 years would have generated about $44 million of net cash flow to the community. But, you know, equally as important to that is we would be a 10% owner of this asset, a $1.7 billion asset, of which Six Nations would own an interest in. And that interest would last for the life of the asset, which conceivably could be 75 to 100 years. Those types of assets generate revenue well into the future. And so there was really an asset play there that unfortunately we missed out on. The future value of that asset, you know, 70 years down the road is really unquantifiable, but nonetheless, it's a real value. And so that on the financial side, that would be, you know, a significant one. We were also working with ITC Holdings to ensure that they utilized A6N Utilities, our joint venture with Aecon, to put our people to work. So not only would we be an investor, but we wanted them to be part of the constructor, certainly on the land-based operations that were going to happen down in the Nanticoke area. The actually laying the cable under the lake was very technical, and we don't really have the capacity to enter into that type of work stream. But there were work groups and tasks that we could have done and put our people to work. And then as well as future employment opportunities to help manage the asset and build capacity in the community to run these types of things in the future. All of those things were on the table. Beyond that, those benefits, I think it's important for me to share that beyond money, the project itself had a number of benefits, not just as an investor. The project itself was forecasted to help reduce between 80 and 150 million tons of greenhouse gases over the next 40 years. It's a considerable positive net impact on the environment. And secondly, it would have helped optimize the assets that we already have. So, Andy, as you may know, Six Nations is an investor in large wind and solar farms. Those wind and solar farms don't operate at an optimal level because the energy grid in the province of Ontario is inefficient. Not just Ontario, but almost all energy grids are inefficient because they were built at a time when there was only so many tools in the toolbox to make things function. We still need new tools in the toolbox to help utilize the things we already have before we go and build new stuff. So the Lake Erie Connector would have utilized the Niagara Reinforcement Line to its better potential because right now it's underutilized. It would have enabled us to maximize the efficiency of our wind and solar farms and so we could produce more green and clean energy. And, you know, making use of the existing assets we already have, to me, makes a lot of sense because the first order of business should be to unlock those efficiencies as opposed to going and building new transmission line somewhere else, which is going to further disrupt the environment and Mother Earth.
And do you have any knowledge as to if this project will perhaps be picked up at a later date, if some of the issues on the financial side of things are solved?
No, I don't have any specific knowledge, Andy. I know that, I think that, Ford is a big company. They've got lots of things going on. I think they've made their strategic decision at this point in time. I think if the macroeconomic conditions change, maybe the project will be revitalized. Yesterday, I went back to the council and I had them rescind their support for the project because I think that there is a possibility in the future that perhaps the project could be acquired by a different player. And maybe there may be an opportunity for us to participate with that new developer. But in any event, whomever that is, we'd have to go through an assessment on who they are and whether or not we want to be partners with them. And that's why the motion from council was rescinded last night, because we wanted to make sure that when that project, if that project ever reemerges, that there's an accurate record that it was originally approved and was now rescinded by the council.
Okay, Matt, I want to thank you again for taking some time this morning to talk to me about the project and it being suspended, and good luck with everything in the future.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate it.